It is Monday, February 9th, 2015. Meg Mann is our facilitator. The answer to how is yes. You're on, Meg, and thank you.
Thank you. Hello, everyone around the world. So it's so lovely to be with you, and fingers crossed my phone connection stays for the full hour. So, as Terry said, the topic of today's call is the answer to how is yes. And I first heard that title when I heard we had the privilege of being at an ICF conference in Orlando, Florida, so many years ago. Some of you on this call were at that conference, and Peter Block was one of the MCs. And we had some time with Peter throughout the conference, and I was so inspired. And one of his books that I purchased was called The Answer to How is Yes. And its application was for organizations, but I had so many insights for the application to coaching, and I wanted to share those with you all today. So I'm just going to go through. I'm going to go through the principles and my take on this for us as coaches, and then I will open it up to hear some insights, takeaways, and responses from members of our community. So I'm going to start with a quote from Peter. And he says, "Transformation comes more from pursuing profound questions than from seeking practical answers." And as coaches, we're all about transformation. That's really what we want for ourselves and for our clients. That's what we're here participating in this amazing journey called life. And the questions of how often take us away from the transformation state and focus us on practical answers. So I'm going to start with a how question. I want you to reflect back and think, how many times have you yourself asked the how question? How many times have you heard your clients ask, well, how can I do that? How am I going to get there? Or they may say, I just don't know how to do it. You know, I'd love to get there, but I don't know how to get there. I don't know how. How can I make this happen? Or I just don't see how I can make it happen. So that word how keeps popping up and popping up and popping up. And in analyzing it, I really think I sit back and say, okay, how is this how serving us? How is the big question of how getting us any closer to where we want to be? And as Peter Block points out in his book, In Consulting for Organizations, he talks about how quickly organizations are looking for answers to the how questions or reasons why they can't get to how when they're missing the whole point. And it really brings us back to one of our foundations in our community of Sun, is that we want to start with the purpose. We want to start with the what for. What's the meaning of where we want to go? And when we ask the question how, it implies that we're really looking outside ourselves. When we ask the question, how do I do something, we're looking for an explanation. We're looking for direction. Hello, Paula. Welcome.
Hello, somebody.
So the question of how is really a question that is looking for instruction. It's looking for ways to do it and experience from someone else. It's looking for expertise from somewhere else. It's not a question that looks within. It's not a question that asks, what is purposeful for us? What do I really, truly want? So if we keep on asking how can I do this, or I don't see how I can do that, we're looking for something that is practical and a doing question versus a purposeful being question. And it's amazing to me that we're in this habit. I mean, we've become a culture of doing. We value being in control. We value getting results. You know, we value getting there in an efficient way, in a practical way. It's become part of our, you know, we're human doings so often. And I think that most of us are recognizing in ourselves and our clients that they're clamoring for much more about the being. They're looking to have a life that's full of purpose and full of the expression of themselves at their highest state of well-being. So what I want us to do in this teleclass today is begin to kind of, you know, take a closer look at this how question and what it implies when we're asking it ourselves and what it implies when our clients are asking it, and how we might reframe it for ourselves and guide our clients to reframe it as well. Because the how question leaps over the question of what do I really want? What's really purposeful for me? And if it's purposeful, and what's meaningful about it? What do I value about it? What will be different in my life when I get there? What's going to be the impact for me? So those are kinds of questions. These may sound familiar to you because they're the kinds of questions we ask when we're establishing the agreement in our coaching conversations with our clients. So we want to postpone the action steps. We don't want to leap to the end with our clients. We want to stay in that space of exploration of the meaning, of the purpose, of the being. Who is the client wanting to be? And those how questions that are popping up can be an indicator for us. They can be a way of us being able to see that the client may be having some type of inner struggle, or the client may be, or we ourselves, may be hearing in our heads the shoulds. Often the how questions come from an expectation. Well, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. It's what the organization expects of me. It's what my family expects of me. It's what my should voice is going on inside of me. It reveals a lot about what is concerning the client, maybe some of their fears or something else that they're struggling with. What are they not trusting in themselves? So by exploring the how question, having patience with that, and asking our clients to take a deeper look, we can really help them to create some deeper awareness. Have some deeper awareness about really what's happening for them. So my suggestion is to avoid, first of all, have the conversation with them and do the exploration, and resist the temptation to jump forward to some types of actions, to resist the temptation to maybe share our own experience. To recognize for the client that the how-to question is an opening of discovery. Our job as coaches is not to be the YouTube video that shows them how to do things. So our purpose as coaches is to help them find the inner resources and to understand more deeply and profoundly what's important for them. So here's my challenge to each of us. Is maybe take a moratorium on the how questions. What would it be like? Just imagine for a moment if we actually challenged ourselves to become far more aware of when we ask the question how and when our clients are asking the question how, and maybe invite ourselves and our clients to just stop asking it. Or to use it appropriately, I don't know, maybe to look for a recipe online on how to make a panna cotta, or how to make a fancy birthday cake, how to build a bookcase, you know, how to put something together. But to otherwise to reserve that how question for those types of things, and to maybe take a closer look of when they're asking it for an exploration of what they really want to do in their lives. So what if we were just to stop doing it? What if we were to stop asking the how question? What if we were to switch that question and ask deeply, what is it that what are we listening for? What are we really asking our souls? What's the soul's message in this moment? What is it our hearts are saying to us? What's the intention that I'm setting in this moment? What do I really want? And knowing and trusting that the answer to that is yes. What if we truly trusted that the answer to hell is yes? Wow. Wow. Can we even begin to imagine what our lives would be like if we really, truly believe that the answer to all our how questions is yes? That we can trust ourselves, that we can trust the universe, God, source, whatever you want to call it? What would our lives be like if we truly live that experiment fully of being purposeful, intentional, knowing that the answers to how are always going to appear? What would that be like? What if we never ask another how question when we really are wanting to ask the question of what is my heart and soul telling me? What would that be like? What are some ways that we can reframe that question for ourselves? I'm going to pause here because I've been talking now for, almost a solid 15 minutes, and I get really passionate about this, but I'd love to hear some reactions to what I've thrown out there. How was that landing with you?
Yes.
And star 6 is to come off mute.
Hi, Meg. This is Kathy.
Hey, Kathy.
I love what you're saying, and it's something that I've been trying to get across to my students for a while, and I don't know that I've been able to do as clear a approach as what you're talking about right here. That it seems like most new coaches, so many of us, want so badly to help the client figure out whatever it is, that it's very tempting to go with what their how is. And the thing that I guess confuses me or stops me is if the answer to how is really yes, in my heart I know what that means, but I'm not really sure how to communicate that.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, I can share with you that I actually use that with my clients. The confusion comes sometimes when they're not native speakers, because when I say the answer to all your hows is yes, I hear house, H-O-U-S-E. So I have to be careful how I say it in English or how I translate it.
But oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. But you're right. Sometimes it sort of flies over their head. But I have invited my clients to gently invite them to say, can we, we'll get to the answer to those questions. We'll get to planning some next steps and some action things. Would you be okay with us spending some more time exploring what's meaningful about this goal for you, and what is it that, what's the impact going to be? And, so again, my encouragement is to go back to what we know is the deep exploration of establishing the agreement, because by using those kinds of questions, we surface again, the purpose, the intention, the meaning, the values, all of those kinds of things. So it's really recognizing and honoring that voice within the client that's showing up as a how question when it's probably either defense or fear or something else, okay? Just hearing it and knowing that it's not really a plea for give me directions on how to get there. It really isn't. Okay?
I like that. We'll get to the answer to these questions, but would it be okay if we explore a little bit first? That's a really lovely way to do it.
Yeah. And when you think about it, if we, we've all been there, either as coaches or in our own lives. When someone tells us how to do something, say, okay, how do I go and get a new job? And, you know, people give us steps 1 through 10. It doesn't necessarily work so well for us. What worked for them may not work for us. As I say, you know, it's not about following a recipe or building an IKEA bookcase or piece of furniture. You know, our lives and what people are coming to us as coaches is not as simple as following instructions. And yet we're all in the habit of asking the how question. So I appreciate what you're saying. It's sometimes a challenge to invite your clients to be patient. But I also find that the more we get in touch with what's really important, and the more we're allowed to dream about what's really important and envision that and experience it, the how questions become less burning, less urgent. But I'd love to hear from others what they found. I'm only sharing some of my experience. I'd love to hear what works. What experiences others have had.
Well, this is Terry. I absolutely love the clarity with which you bring this to the fore, Meg. And what I'm playing with is, if you knew how, what would be different? Or who would be? Or when you discover how, tell me about it. Paint a picture for me about it. What feelings are there when you knew? So making the assumption, the leap, what if you knew how already, and then beginning the conversation might be another way.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. So just leapfrogging, you already have the instructions. You figured it out. Now what? What's there? Great. I love that. Yeah. Some other thoughts.
Meg, this is Dahlia.
Hey.
Hi, Meg. Missed you a long time.
I know. Miss you too.
I like it very much as well, and I want to connect to the you asked before about the house, the house. And no, I like it because you can, if we talk with the clients or explain, like Katie said, she doesn't know how to communicate it. The house, it's our house, inner, inside, and we have our rules. And this is different from the how, that is maybe someone else's rules or principles. So I see the house as something that is very connected to me, and this makes it easier for me to connect it to clients and to myself as well.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Meg, this is Tina.
Hi, Tina.
How are you?
Okay.
As I'm sitting here contemplating, you know, the answer to how is yes, and my shaker that I have on my desk that I got when we were in Savannah that says, eat life in big fat chunks, say yes. But what I find when I'm experiencing the how is that I'm not going forward. So I get stuck, you know. So you say, it's in this cycle of just saying because when you get stuck with the how, you know, it's like all those doubts, well, I really don't have this or I don't have that and I don't have this and I don't have that. So it almost becomes, for me, when I get stuck in that how, it's like a big, huge roadblock. It's like a big stop sign that comes up that says, no, you can't go past this.
Yeah, yeah.
And not always.
Thank you for
sharing.
There
are some things that are really like that. So I really like that the answer to how is yes, because you just trust to say yes to whatever comes along and to say, I'll figure it out as I go. But you have to first say yes to get there.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, thank you.
Meg, this is Vicki.
Yes. Hey, Vicki.
Hey. You know, it reminds me of the what we used to say years ago, that the typical way of achieving something is that you do something first to have something, and then you would be someone different. And shifting that around, it actually is that you need to be that someone different, and then you will have what you want, because then you'll
mm-hmm.
know what to do. So
mm-hmm.
so it's kind of shifting our society's way of looking at achievement. Instead of do, have, be, it's more be, do, have. So,
mm-hmm. yeah.
So one of the questions, instead of how do you do something, it, for me it's, well, who do you need to be?
Mm-hmm.
To
yes.
have that, you know,
yeah.
what new perspective would you have if you knew how to do this, or if you had this? And often that leads them into looking at what is getting in their way, what
yeah.
thoughts, opinions, judgments, beliefs are getting in their way of being the person who has what they want.
Thank you. You know, I think that that so many of our clients it's been reinforced with them that they're getting rewarded in life with their doing, right? It's the results that they're providing, or the producing certain, whatever they're doing. Busy, they're keeping busy doing things for their organization, and they're busy. And a lot of organizations have gone through multiple transformations, and people are doing multiple jobs now. And they don't stop to ask themselves, you know, what's purposeful about it, what's my intention, what's rewarding. But they're in this habit of doing. So I think they often come to us, and they're in that same habit of approaching it, as you say, you know, from starting with, well, what can I do, and then ultimately that'll bring me some state of being. And by our simply holding the space for them to explore that, by asking some of these questions of who are you being, what's meaningful about it, and, you know, what if you're there, what's important about that. It gives them the space and the opportunity to explore and get in touch with a different side of themselves. And that's got to be, I think it's a scary journey for most of our clients. It's really scary, because we've been in this rat race, as we call it, or this, what's the word I'm looking for, just sort of this vicious circle of lots of doing. We even have so many expressions in our language that talk about doing. In multiple languages, it's really about doing. The little phrase, so what have you done for me lately? And I think we're operating under that way of approaching life with that language in our heads that is not serving so well. So just helping the clients to shift that paradigm, shift the way they hear themselves, to shift the way they view their lives, can be extremely powerful.
Meg and Charlotte.
Yeah. Hey, Charlotte.
It occurs to me that it is much easier on the coach as well. If we don't have to be thinking up ways for people to do things, we can relax.
Absolutely. Amen to that. Amen.
they can carry their own load.
Well, you know, exactly. Thank you for reminding us. I mean, what do we really believe in coaching? What's the fundamental principle of coaching? The potential is in the client. The clients come to us fully capable, full of their own resources and potential to reach their goals. Yeah, absolutely. And it's not our responsibility. you're right. We are not there to give them the answers. Hallelujah.
Sherry, I'd love to share a real experience of this. I was privileged to have been selected to coach a very senior executive in our federal government. And the main thing that he wanted was to plan his retirement. And that's a how. You know, how am I gonna do this time when I'm retired? And we started with life purpose, of course, and we had the life area cards, and as he was going through, he kept stumbling on the one spiritual. Long story short, he moved spiritual to the top and decided he was going to get back into martial arts that he had not been doing for 30 years or more. And when we came together the next time, that's all we spoke about. And the next time, and the next time. Well, we're getting to the fourth meeting, and I'm getting nervous because I have a commitment to help him plan his retirement. And so I courageously bring it up at the beginning, and he looked at me very surprised and said, "Oh, now that I remember who I am, I know how to plan my own retirement. I'd much rather keep continuing with this discussion about meaningfulness and purposefulness and the essence of who I am." It was like this, I can plan my own retirement. So we renegotiated the agreement in terms of the results he wanted, and that was the program. That was so powerful.
It's a great story. Thank you. Well, you know, speaking of this responsibility thing, one of the things that Peter Block mentions in his book is he says that actually asking the how questions removes the responsibility from the person, which I think is an interesting perspective. And we think that and when I first read that, I thought, wait, how does that happen? And he says, if I'm asking how to do something and getting instruction from someone else, I'm depending on them. I'm almost making them responsible. And if something goes, you know, so there's a right way to do it, and if it doesn't go right, then I can come back and blame somebody else. Whereas one of the key principles that we have of our competencies is about the holding the client accountable. You know, the client seeking ways to hold himself or herself accountable. But it's an interesting thing that responsibility, if I go and get the answers from somebody else, I'm not really owning up to my own role in the things, which I thought was an interesting thing to consider, particularly in light of our ICF competencies. Some other thoughts, and I'd love to hear what you all are thinking. And I have a list here of the competencies that I think these types of conversations with our clients can bring up. But I'd love to hear perspectives from people on the call.
Hi, Meg. This is Alfonso.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for your gift. Just in case, you may know the quotation. It says something like, every decision we make is not a decision about what to do, it's a decision about who we are. And I fully agree with that.
Wow.
At the same time, it comes to my mind that one way of expressing who we are is by doing choices, making choices.
Mm-hmm.
So the question about how to do, for me, is a question about what do you choose?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than how.
Because I like that reframing. Yeah.
So
you're asking your client when they ask the how question, you're if I understand correctly, you're mirroring back and saying, so what are you choosing?
Yes. What is your choice? Yeah.
Yeah. Exploring your choices.
After asking who do you want to be in this case?
Yeah.
And then what is your choice?
That's great. And think of the there's several things as you're expressing that come up. Are the depth of the empowerment, you know, the personal power that's there in that choice of decision. Wow, yeah, very powerful. And freedom, or maybe they, you know, I don't know, whatever word resonates to them, but that it resides back with them. It's not external mm-hmm. again. It's bringing it back internal to them.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Some other impressions, responses, questions.
Meg, this is Tina again. Mm-hmm. One thing that just, as Alfonso was speaking, and thank you for that, Alfonso, one of the things that just really occurred to me is that saying yes is really saying yes to your being. I mean, it's like, what do you choose? I use a question similar when I'm coaching somebody through conflict, you know, mm-hmm. is how do you want to be in this conflict? And then how do you, so what's the next step? But it's like saying yes to you. It's like saying the removing the how is like saying yes to your soul.
Mm. Yeah. Powerful. Thank you.
Thanks.
It's Charlotte again. It occurs to me that if we parented in this way, we would have beings who were centered and knew what they wanted to do in life, what they wanted to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're so fond of teaching. And I believe it was Churchill who said, people love to learn, but they hate to be taught.
Yes, absolutely. And I have the one that from Galileo who said, you can't teach people anything. You can only help them find it within themselves. And I've used that quote. I like Churchill's as much as usual. He's precise and concise. But I have actually shared that quote with clients as well, and reminded them that, particularly, you know, one of our principles of Sun is to we want them to tap into their inner resources. So all of these things help support them creating sustainable ways of being and doing throughout the program and long after we're gone.
Hi, this is Eileen in Virginia, and I was just thinking that the who is really when Terry talked about her client that was looking at retirement and they rediscovered who they were and their interests, it was so much easier, and that really resonated with me with my experiences with clients, and just wanted to shout out that I agree with that. And the other thing is I had a question for Alfonso. Every decision we make about what to do is about who we are. Where is that quotation from? I really like it.
Since I know it from a long time ago, I was looking for the paper where I have written, because I used to have it in front of the wall in my office. So I will tell you before the end of the call.
It is a great quote.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
This is Tina. It's Jane Austen.
Ah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, from
yes.
Sense and Sensibility.
Thank you, Tina.
Oh. Really?
That's a quote I like, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good old Jane Austen. Okay. All right. That's great. You know, again, you know, I think that several of us have, on this call, have had these conversations before about one of my favorite competencies, which is establishing the agreement, and really doing the deep exploration with our clients, getting in touch with the who they are and what they really are wanting, you know, getting to that deep, deep place. And I think we have all had those kind of conversations with our clients, with that depth of exploration and the touching of their souls and the connection with purpose for them. They're finding their path and all of these things we've been sharing today. And when that happens, when we have those conversations and they're getting in touch with that, in my experience, all the doing stuff, you know, the sort of the next steps and the designing actions just flows so organically, and they're so highly motivated, it's really clear. They just go, I know what I can do. And so that's when you really see that the answer to how is yes. They're no longer even asking the how, because it's so clear what the pathway is for them in terms of the next step, even if it's a baby step or a big step. But it becomes crystal clear because they're now in flow and on their path. And it's really beautiful to see. I'd like to say it happens in every class, in every coaching conversation, but... Hello? Hello?
Hello?
I'm here. We're here.
Okay.
It sounded like some people dropped off or came on, but...
I heard a lot of dings. Just want to make sure I'm still on. There was a lot of static on the phone.
Yeah, this is Sunita. I got kicked off some kind of way, and I dialed back in.
That's okay. Thank you. Welcome back. So just to bring this in the context of our core competencies, as I was saying, that I think a lot of the exploration around the what the client really wants and what's meaningful about that. So those establishment agreement and the exploration of those questions in our conversations is really rich. Many of you know that that's one of my core competencies that I'm passionate about, and I'm constantly seeking to do better at that. This exploration of the how questions with our clients and getting to the who of them certainly taps into our competency of presence and holding that space and our willingness to be open and curious and vulnerable, our staying fully with the client in those moments. Lots of active listening, lots of powerful questions, and in helping our clients to do this exploration and reframe, finding out what it is that's really important for them, inevitably there's going to be awareness that's created. It may be that we are going to use the competency of direct communication. We may be mirroring for them, sharing feedback of what we're perceiving. What's the energy with which they're asking these how questions? You know, what are we picking up from them on their energy? And what's the voice that is being heard when they're asking the how do I do this or I don't know how to do this? By giving them the feedback and mirroring that to them, we're using the competency of direct communication. As I said earlier, you know, this idea of who's responsible. When I'm asking the how questions, where's the responsibility? Where's the accountability? So it may even, in our conversations with our clients and exploration of the how, the questions of how, it may be that we talk a little bit about accountability. Where's the responsibility for moving forward in their lives? Are they looking externally, or are they looking for their own within themselves and their own resources? So when I was preparing this teleclass for today and asking myself what's the connection with our ICF core competencies, I came up with almost all of them.
And I guess even trust and intimacy, I didn't have it on my list, but it implies a real element of trust and intimacy being present. And I think that's kind of cool, just having, if we do nothing more than explore with our clients how question means for them and what's underneath all of that, then we're really exercising a lot of our competencies as coaches. So I'd love to hear some more impressions and what questions are coming up. What answers are coming up?
Meg, this is Kathy.
Yes.
And what I love about this is establishing agreement is just about my favorite competency as well. And this approach is something that can really be very powerful when you're talking to people about establishing agreement. It gives a little bit of a reason to go beyond, oh, you want to know how to talk to your boss? Okay, that's what we'll talk about. This will give them an understanding and an impetus, a motivation, if you will, to go beyond that and to do some really good exploration. So thank you so much for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good thoughts. Thank you.
This is Terry. I'm thinking of the question, how can I be more trusting, or how can I be more assertive, or how can I be more confident? And I'm drawing around in my head whether that's the same thing, even though it's asking a being question with a how.
Yeah, but what's underneath that question? Because if you really ask, how can I be more confident, how can I be more assertive, what is that? What's the source of that question? What's underneath that question?
A wish to transform or access a being state.
Yeah.
Which implies that you're not right now, and what makes you think you're not?
Right.
So yeah, that's it applies there just as much as anything else.
It does.
Yeah, it does.
And you're absolutely, you know, at first blush it sounds like a perfectly, you know, it's like sort of, you know, yeah, okay. How can I be more assertive with this, or how can I be more confident in this? How can I have more blah blah states of being? But underneath, the more you peel the layers off, somewhere there's a doubt or a concern or, and then, like Kathy says, something that's saying, I'm not enough now. And what's underneath that? So even the how question of, that's an interesting thing, that even if it's not a how do I do something, it's a how do I be. That's not correct grammar, is it? How can I be? I wonder if it still doesn't raise some of the same doubts, concerns, fears, that maybe we want to shine a light to say, what is it that we're really seeking, or what is that client really seeking in asking that question?
I guess I would go back to one possibility is, what if you were confident now?
Yeah. What is the confidence? Yeah.
It's Charlotte. I hear the meta concern here of more. That's a red flag. So then I would be moved to ask, are you competent now in any area?
Mm-hmm.
And then explore what that competency is like, or the value of it. And then you could say, where else do you want it in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Or how do you assess your need for competence in these different areas, or whatever? You could go from there, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
but it's the more that gives you a clue. So you assume, I mean, as a coach, I would assume that they have some competency or they wouldn't be sitting there.
Yeah.
They had enough competency to hire me.
That's right. But, as you say, Charlotte, again, it's that competence of staying so open and curious, right? And just picking up on one word and echoing it back, and it's that active listening and just the reflection. And let's go deeper on that. What's happening, right? Yeah.
Yes, or even in humor, I might say, to get where you are, to be the person you are. You have expressed many competencies. Which ones are of major concern now?
Mm-hmm.
Or
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do you want to grow at this point? What interests you the most? There are a million
right.
ways to say it.
Yeah. But it's uncanny how often the how comes up. Just one of your questions was a how. I'm so mindful now. I must have used it 10 times just today, not just totally, we're just in this habit. And I'm now becoming far more aware of what's the source of my how question.
Well, we don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
No, not at all.
We can still have that word in our vocabulary as long as the intention is that the client explore opportunities and choose as appropriate for the client.
Yeah. Well, I'm laughing at myself, Charlotte, because I had been preparing this a couple of weeks ago, and I had a session with a client, and I actually said, so how are you going to go about getting there? And then I started laughing, and he looked at me quite strangely, and I said, never mind, I don't want to ask you a how question because I'm always challenging you on your how question. So I'm laughing at myself.
I think it's appropriate once a client has set a goal and the steps to get there is a how issue.
Yeah.
we don't have to throw it away. We just have to be careful that it comes after.
The placement of it is important. Yeah.
Yeah.
It becomes interesting, though, as I say, now I'm being overly mindful. And my question earlier in our conversation to all of you was, what if we were to stop using it altogether? What would that be like? But it really, it's the idea of being mindful, being intentional, as you just pointed out, Charlotte, the placement of it. So in terms of our competencies in as coaches, knowing when it's appropriate for a doing or a being, when it's appropriate to use it, and when it's really showing up somewhere else. But it gets to be comical on how often I'm using how. maybe in the right way or the not way. And another thought that comes up that I want to throw out there is that, again, being mindful of how you're using how, but asking yourself the same question. So I just asked how. What if the answer to that were yes? What does that imply? What does that mean going forward? If the answer is yes, then what's going to show up? If the answer to how is always yes, what will be there? What's going to manifest? Just something.
This is Terry.
Methodology.
It's not be Galileo. It may not be Jane Austen. It may not be Churchill. But how about this? To be the person you want to be, you must be the person you are now.
Yes.
Maybe.
Because that comes from the point of view that we are perfect now. We just need to release it.
Yeah. And I think that there, again, as Peter, as I started this conversation, was saying, you know, that the transformation, and we all see this in our profession, the transformation truly comes from the questioning, from the seeking, from the shining of light. Not from seeking the answers, but the answers, but being in that place of questioning and inquiry, and the insights emerge, the ahas, the and those are the answers, yeah? And it's from those insights and the aha moments that the how-to or the solutions reveal themselves. But I think a true transformation comes, and the power of coaching comes from the inquiry, from the shining of light, from the from that exploration. That's my experience. Any other thoughts? I'm going to challenge you, given all the conversation, thank you all so much for sharing. I would like to invite you to in your next conversations, your next interventions, whatever you want to call them, your meetings with clients, to maybe allow more time and space for exploration of the what, exploration of the possibilities, exploration of intentions and purpose, soul conversations of what is meaningful, important, what is the soul really clamoring for and yearning for, and see how the how and get how all the hows, H-O-W-S, get answered with a resounding yes. After that exploration, or through that exploration. And I really look forward to hearing what those experiences are like and what we can learn from those explorations as coaches, learn from each other, exploring ways of reframing our thinking and our states of being and helping our clients to reframe for themselves as well.
Well, Meg, I want to thank you very much for an illuminating, enlightening, and meaningful conversation that I am sure I will continue to explore. So I can
thank
always say to myself, but I wouldn't be surprised if others do the same. And
thank you.
I would propose that maybe you put that up on the Sun Community as a question for a blog conversation.
Yeah, happy to.
Webpage, okay, wonderful.
I am happy to do that. Happy to put the reference on there, and I have my notes. If anybody wants them, I'm happy to share those as well. So,
thank you. So, two things. March 2nd is our next one. Dahlia will be presenting Committing to Purpose Every Day. And we will not be doing it on our teleclass bridge line. I'm going to be switching to Zoom. I will make a note of that on the Sun Community website as well. It is the system that ICF has been using, and some of you know I've been using it now for 2 weeks very successfully. There are international local lines if people want to call, many more than we have had available now. It is both audio and video, and if you can do video, it's always wonderful to see people. But if you cannot or in a position where it would not be safe, then you can join us through audio as well. So thank you very much, Meg, for a wonderful February teleclass. I hope everybody loves themselves this month. Have a wonderful.
Yes. Thanks.
Thank you,
Meg. Thanks, everybody. Great to hear you
thank
all.
You, thank you.
Thanks, Meg. This was
great.
Thank you, Meg. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.